Welcome to an IBM webcast on storage virtualization, featuring Mark Farley, president of IDEX, Inc., and author of the popular Building Storage Networks. Joining Mr. Farley are IBM experts Laura Sanders, vice president, IBM System Storage Products and Solutions, and Tony Pearson, manager, brand market strategy, IBM System Storage. In this segment, you will hear a discussion of how IBM storage virtualization affects your storage infrastructure, the why of storage virtualization. At the end of the webcast, you will be given a URL where you can download the first and third segments of this webcast, the what and how of storage virtualization. And now, Laura Sanders.
And what we want to talk about today is how customers are getting value out of this today. So I'm going to start off here putting Tony on the spot, and I gave a high-level overview of what we do here. I'd like you to go down to the next level and really focus on what we can accomplish and also what are some of the benefits. And I know you're not going to get all the way through this as Mark and I jump in and give you our comments, but let's go ahead and start.
Well, some of the benefits for the Sandvine controller is that you can improve the scalability. You can grow. We have a lot of customers growing at ridiculous rates, 50%, 75%. And that growth can be very disruptive if you don't have a Sandvine controller that allows you to bring in new storage and move data around non-disruptively while your applications are running. You also have the flexibility of having heterogeneous support that you mentioned. It's not just about IBM storage. We can virtualize EMC, HP, Hitachi devices and make them all look like a single device type with a single management interface and a single multipathing driver. It really greatly simplifies the way customers can manage storage without having to worry about, you know, why they have different storage devices. Maybe they've gone through acquisitions and they've inherited or had storage devices from different companies that now are merged into a single data center. Third, we have increased performance. Sandvine controller is one of the only offerings that actually improves the performance in addition to all the benefits of virtualization, whereas a lot of our competitors do nothing but slow down every read and every write. We've actually designed the Sandvine controller to provide the optimum performance for most workloads and be able to provide an improvement over what the disk you are attaching to. So even if you put the Sandvine controller in front of slow disk, it'll be faster, and fast disk will be even faster. Finally, we have the idea of simplified management. We can manage all of the storage from a single point of control. So you don't have to have Navisphere and EMC Control Center and whatever Hitachi and HP offer for their products to carve out a lawn and give it to a host and do the zoning and the switch definitions that you might need. And all of those are different from one vendor to the next. You can now have a mixed environment, but manage giving out storage in a single way, a single set of skills and tools needed to make that possible.
So, Tony, a couple things. So we gave these overall uses and improvements that can happen from the SAN volume controller. So first of all, let's just talk about this performance thing. I mean, come on. How could putting something else in the network make it go faster? And do we have any benchmarks or proof that that really happens?
Absolutely. SVC has the number one SPC1 benchmark, which is designed for modeling database workloads and things like online transaction processing, where you're making a lot of quick updates to small records in the database. And the SPC1 models that with a 70-30 breakdown on workload. That means 70% are for reads and 30% are for writes, which we find fairly typical for a lot of applications. So we have a read-write cache in the Sandvine controller that can serve the data to the host without having to go to the back-end disk. Anytime you can avoid going to the back-end disk, you avoid all of the time delays of physical rotations and so on. So what we end up doing is by offloading a lot of the reads and the writes being cached up at the front, we send fewer reads and fewer writes down to the physical devices. Running those devices at lower IOs per second gives you a faster response time because those devices now typically can respond to fewer requests quicker. And so we can actually improve the performance. And we've had customers get 50% improvement. For example, Bell was able to get 50% improvement in their critical applications, and their end-user response times were cut in half using the Sandvine controller. And that's just one example. We've had many customers who were surprised that the performance was noticeably improved.
Oh, thanks, Tony. And I guess if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense by, you know, faking out the application and saying, oh, yes, I'm doing this, but I'm not really requiring all the physical things to happen. We should be able to speed it up, and besides that, we obviously have really, really smart engineers. You gave the Bell example. So I wanted to talk about some very specific examples of how customers are getting some of the values we talked about. So I'm pretty excited about being able to keep an application up, being able to reduce costs. There's a lot of things going on business-wise that we need the infrastructure to support. So maybe, Tony, you could give us some examples on utilization, flexibility, et cetera, that customers are getting real value out of today.
Well, we recently worked with ING. They are a financial and insurance services firm, and they wanted to implement DR capabilities. They wanted to have data centers that are 40 kilometers apart for business continuity, but usually that implies having to buy the most expensive enterprise-class disk available that has those capabilities. With the SAN volume controller, which has those capabilities, they were able to put that in front of lower-cost DS4000 series disk at both locations and greatly reduce the overall cost of that solution. And they ran that by, and that met the APRA standards for their industry, which was important to them, and they were able to greatly simplify managing the copy services. And they have the flexibility now that if they have different disks from different vendors, they can add it to this replicated environment, and they can have different types of disk at either end. So at one data center, they can choose to get, in addition to the DS4000, maybe some ESS 800s, maybe some HPs or Hitachi devices, and at the remote location, maybe some IBM and EMC devices can be intermixed, and all of the copies would be handled seamlessly.
So are you saying that the SAN volume controller can allow you to basically do tiered storage but manage it the same way? Is that the point with ING?
With ING, they were looking for a flexible approach that positions them for tiered storage. Even though they have DS4000s at both sites today, they at least now have an infrastructure in place that gives them the flexibility to choose other technologies as they're introduced.
Got it. So you might use this as a backdrop for an ILM solution to basically get your infrastructure ready to more easily do ILM, yeah?
Absolutely. And if you wanted to have different tiers of storage, maybe a gold, silver, and a bronze tier, you have the advantage that with SAN volume controller, all of the hosts can access all of the tiers using the same multipathing driver, the same management interface. They don't have to have unique drivers and unique interfaces, which often is the biggest inhibitor to implementing tiered storage, is that different tiers work differently. And now we can make them all work the same.
So we talked about tiered storage. We talked about the performance capabilities. What are some other benefits that we're seeing that are customer-specific?
We're seeing that customers like the fact that we have centralized management. When it comes to giving out storage to an application that needs more storage or new storage because it's a new project, that can be different for each vendor storage device, and oftentimes complicated by the fact that they have rules and restrictions on what types of storage can be doled out, the quantities involved. And once you carve a LUN of a specific size, oftentimes you're stuck with that size until you reformat the array. And that means that if you pick the wrong size, well, you're stuck with it. Or if they've outgrown their size 6 months later, well, now you have to copy that data to a bigger disk and make room for them that way. We have the ability to centralize the management of the storage and, from a single console, expand in place disks to be larger so that you can now use more space on an as-needed basis rather than giving people large over-allocated chunks of storage that they might need for the next 5 years for their application's growth. This lets you optimize how much storage you give to each application.
So really true flexibility, and it really takes some focus off folks having to migrate stuff in order to grow or lower the utilization just because they're getting ready ahead of time for growth that may or may not happen in a particular area. So it kind of reduces the whole crystal ball thing of planning your space.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have we seen any particular areas that have had the most benefits out of SAN volume controller, you know, for example, banks or public sector or anything like that?
I would focus on three industries that we've had some great success in. First, financial services. Those applications are very much database updates from online transactions, so they need high performance, they need 24/7 capability, and they need the business continuity capabilities of flash copy and remote mirroring. And all of that is available with SVC. And here, SVC has the fastest SPC1 benchmark designed specifically to model that kind of environment. Secondly, if you look at an industry like media and entertainment, they have a completely different workload, where they're doing video streaming and audio streaming of large files that have to be bulk transferred. And it turns out that there's a second benchmark called SPC2 focused exactly on that type of bulk transfers and streaming that SVC also has the number one benchmark in. So SVC is used easily in those environments to provide the performance they need and in a non-disruptive way, because if you are a online internet presence for downloading content, you want to make sure that you're available 24/7, because now it actually relates to your revenue stream. The third industry I would focus on is healthcare. People's lives depend on having data readily available, so you can't have any outages or disruptions. And in the area of healthcare, they are now digitizing a lot of stuff that was previously on paper. Things like x-rays, things like medical records and patient records are now all kept on the computer systems. And as a result, that growth needs to be handled and accommodated for non-disruptively, because you can't have downtime in a hospital or a healthcare facility. So the scalability and the ability to be able to add more storage and expand the storage online non-disruptively allows the IT environments of these healthcare facilities to not disrupt the quality of the healthcare.
And one of the things I've been really pleasantly surprised about is the disparate size customers SAN Volume Controller has been going into. And some of the examples you just cited, I think some of the folks on the phone might think, well, gee, I guess that is probably just a really, really big company that would go make that happen. And so we talked about ING for banking, but we, you know, also have small banks like Evli Bank in Europe, you know, and probably about 8 to 10 additional banking customers, and I think China Construction Bank, now they're huge, but lots of small banking customers. And then if you go into public sector for the hospitals and the universities, we see tremendous mid-range, you know, St. Elizabeth Healthcare, Rex Healthcare, and we see universities and cities, you know, City of Richmond, City of Johannesburg. These are not huge IT powerhouses. This is not rocket science to put this in and get the benefits that you just talked about. So I've been really, like I said, pleasantly surprised about both the mid-range and the high-end take-up of this technology, and I also think it's good proof that it is easy to set up, it is easy to use, it is easy to get utilization out of, because these guys don't come to work every day going, gee, I wonder what bleeding-edge technology I think I want to put in today. So I'm going to ask Mark to comment on that. Do you think that the industry sees virtualization as proven, and how do you feel about the SAN volume controller in terms of being proven in the industry?
You know, that's a good question. I think to a large degree, the market is still sort of looking a little bit askance at virtualization. And, you know, you've got some customer groups that have really figured it out and understood it, and they're taking it in as fast as they can. But there's still a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, I think, because of, you know, the case 4 years ago, the word virtualization was tossed around like cotton candy in the SAN industry, and everybody wanted to talk about virtualization, and every product had a flavor of virtualization. Everything was being sold as virtualization. It sort of spoiled the word. And I said this before, but I think the SAN volume controller actually re-legitimized what virtualization was. And you know, the thing that you talked about at the very beginning here, Laura, the heritage of IBM, you know, 40 years making virtualization, actually is a very serious thing. And the heritage of technology that's poured into this product and been applied to SAN volume controller is enormous. And I'm not sure a lot of people, especially people relatively unfamiliar with IBM, understand or appreciate what that means. But I think it's huge, and certainly your customers think it's huge too. So I think people are getting used to the idea that virtualization is actually a deep-rooted requirement for managing storage today. I think it's very important. I can't remember the second part of your question. Do you want to ask that again?
I think the second part was really around, okay, is it real and what are people doing? Is this something that you feel like the rest of the industry is doing? Is IBM ahead or behind? And how do customers get a good sense of what's going on out there about what's real? Because, as I said, I don't think everybody wants to be the bleeding edge guy.
Yeah. So the answer is definitely real. And I would say the place to look for validation of that is what your competitors are now trying to say about virtualization, right? So some of your competitors, like Hitachi, like EMC, have wanted to come out and talk about virtualization. And you sort of put them in an interesting place because they find themselves surprisingly being a couple years behind the curve. And IBM is not always the best at getting the word out, getting the information out to the non-IBM market about what its products are. And the analyst community tends to want to look to a few other vendors and run them up the flagpole first. But it's been an interesting thing here with virtualization because, you know, like I said, the SVC really re-legitimized what it was. The other vendors have had to respond. And in my estimation, they're trying to chase you. They're trying to protect their market space, if you will, from the strength that you have. By the way, I know we don't want to talk about other products too much of the virtualization call here, but some of the other disk products you have, the 8000, the 6000, these are very strong products, and your competitors are having to try to protect themselves against your very, very strong virtualization story. So my feeling is that the people that have the SVC, they already get it. People that don't or that haven't looked at it yet or are not typical IBM customers, I think a lot of the times they might just skip past you and say, well, that's IBM. I don't really work with IBM. But they really should with SVC. I think it's one of the premier storage management products in the business. And the way the wind is swirling in the market, I think there's going to continue to be a groundswell around SVC. I think it is the best product, and I think people are starting to figure that out. And I think the buzz, still fairly low level, is in favor of SVC.
Okay, well, certainly as an IBMer, I really appreciate that. And one of the things I see when I go out and call on customers is, you know, they ask me about the religion of where this should be in the environment. And, you know, we talk about religion for a little while, and then I ask them, okay, well, go show me the references or the reference setups that you can see from the other folks that have it in the other parts of the environment or don't have it at all, because, you know, I don't think we want to do technology for technology's sake. We want to do technology to give value to the business. So from your perspective, why should you have virtualization in your infrastructure? I mean, why should somebody get started on this? And do you think, you know, virtualization is for everybody?
It's for almost everybody. There are going to be some businesses maybe small and don't grow. Right, for the information age, there are still some businesses that are not going to have much storage capacity, and they might be whatever, small retail shops or what. But if you're managing any amount of information, you really need the flexibility and stability of strong virtualization products. And any infrastructure needs to have both those elements. A few years ago, I went and did a bunch of thinking about what infrastructures were and what storage infrastructures needed to be. What I came up with is that an infrastructure, at the end of the day, has to be pulled by two opposite vectors, if you will. One is flexibility, and the other one is stability, right? It has to be able to respond to whatever you need it to do, and it has to always work, right? And those two things are hard, and I really think, again, that, you know, the heritage, the technology that's poured into SAN volume controller gives it both of those elements. Now, for the SAN infrastructure, for the storage infrastructure component, the things that you need are virtualization, you need open management, and you need redundancy. So we're not really talking about redundancy so much, but it turns out that SAN Volume Controller has that in it also. I mean, this is the thing that I really like about the SAN Volume Controller product, is that the core elements that you need to manage a storage infrastructure, virtualization it has in spades, does a wonderful job. Redundancy, it's got great features for redundancy, remote copy, mirroring, these types of things, and then centralized open management. It's extremely important. This is the way that you wring out value out of an infrastructure. You know, an infrastructure that makes you have multiple management systems, multiple learning curves for those management systems, multiple maintenance, you can start stacking up all the different kinds of things that are multiple that you might have in a heterogeneous environment. And if you can take that and centralize them in a centralized management component in the network, like SVC does, you can cut a lot of cost out of what you're trying to do. And it's not just cost, it's speed. You know, you could say time is money, but there are times when you're actually not really concerned about the money that much. You just need to get the job done. You know, the money comes later, or the problem of not earning money or losing money comes later. You need to get the job done today, right? And the fastest tools to do that are the ones that are going to be the most valuable. Well, in storage, it's the power of virtualization that gets you out of trouble, that keeps you from going in on weekends, and again, the centralized management so you can see the whole thing, understand what's going on, not have to venture from management application to management application to try to figure that out. Those are very, very powerful things that I think saves everybody lots of money. And that's why I think a product like the SAN Volume Controller is really such an important product, because it really does that job.
Well, I guess I think, you know, that way, it's pretty unusual to improve stability and uptime and reduce total cost of ownership. There is usually a trade-off.
It's really hard. And I know there's patents behind this, right? And so there's probably some things that I can't talk about, but when I took a deep dive a few years ago on what the design of this product was, I was blown away. The cleverness and the computer science that is behind this product is astounding. People say, well, show me that. Well, you know, I can't do that, but I think if they use the product, they're going to see. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, but that flexibility and stability, you're right, that really is hard, and this product's really got it.
Yeah, we agree. And, you know, and to your point of can you see it, sure, we'd love to show it to our customers and do a proof of concept. And, of course, the magic inside, some of that we hide. So I appreciate the way that you talked about that in terms of things that you usually trade off. You now actually get both.
You have been listening to an IBM webcast on storage virtualization. If you would like to hear more of this webcast, please visit ibm.com/storage/podcast and follow the Storage Virtualization webcast links. Thank you for listening.